This week, on the GPP Activism and Corporate Governance Newsletter, as some of us celebrated the new Jewish year of 5786, we sat in synagogue pondering Abraham's near sacrifice of Isaac, and, as our minds drifted, the SEC's recently promulgated Exxon No Action Letter. Between the Exxon letter, which allows the oil giant to canvass retail shareholders in advance of a vote to secure pre-approved support, and the rise of pass-through voting, issuers are now mulling whether to rethink their investor relations and PR strategies around retail shareholder voting. Here's Skadden's take on the Exxon letter, which suggests the SEC is open to similar programs elsewhere. Conventional wisdom has held that the retail vote only matters in close elections and that the juice ain't worth the squeeze in the cost of a retail get out the vote. As long as the major players vote and issues can get their quorum, no need to spend additional time and money. And proxy advisors note how hard it is to get retail to vote. But now the tide may be turning, and corporates may need to rethink their strategies. Issuers can look to successful campaigns from the likes of the Walt Disney Company to cater specifically to retail shareholders in its successful defense against Tryon, like this Ludwig von Drake video. Other companies are building out retail-oriented platforms to communicate to individual investors, like Pfizer's retail shareholder website, and mapping where the retail base sits geographically to run a get-out-the-vote campaign. In the Exxon case, advisors who work with activists believe this is a backdoor way to help boards over activists in any campaign. Andrew Friedman of Olshan penned an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal this week making that point, and the deal also explored potential implications. If issuers can pre-register friendly votes, then it's about creating campaigns ahead of proxy season to have the votes in the back pocket. We spoke to Okapi Partners' Bruce Goldfarb, who regularly works with companies and investors, who commented, "One big issue in the context of shareholder activism is whether a retail investor will want to override the standing instructions in a proxy contest. In a contest, management may have a real head start by implementing this process." Shana Tovu. Happy New Year to all. Hoping for a peaceful year. Meanwhile, in activism news, the Financial Times reports earlier this week, Engine Capital called on Acadia, one of America's largest providers of mental health services, to review its asset portfolio, improve its board directors, and halt capital-intensive projects for new facilities. The activist's letter is the latest challenge at the company, which is also facing DOJ and SEC investigations into allegations of holding patients against their will and falsifying insurance claims. Bloomberg writes that activist fund Anson has held private conversations with Clear Channel Outdoor, an outdoor advertising operator, to pursue a sale of the company. This comes after the company recently sold operations in most of its international markets, a move that analysts praised as the first step to start driving growth and lowering leverage. And from the deal, a deeper dive into what is next for Genuine Parts: will the company split in two, creating standalone companies for its Napa Automotive and Motion Industries businesses, or will it simply sell the auto business and continue forward? In deal news, according to Bloomberg, debt is often used to finance transactions as the merger and acquisitions pipeline continues to build back up. Wall Street banks, including JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, and Citigroup, have recently won mandates on buyout financing for more than $20 billion of mergers and acquisitions debt. From the Journal, it is reported that PrizePicks has announced that Allwyn International, a global lottery led entertainment company, will take a majority stake in the Atlanta-based fantasy sports company. The deal implies an initial enterprise value of $2.5 billion, up to $4.15 billion, if certain metrics are reached within 3 years. Also from the Journal, brokerage giant Compass agrees to acquire rival Anywhere in an all-stock transaction for $1.6 billion. The deal will bring Compass to international markets and create a $10 billion industry giant. Moving on to corporate governance, we highlight an important academic paper just published on SSRN by Columbia Law's Dorothy Lund and CO authors on the rise of pass-through voting. Meanwhile, Wachtell Lipton's David Katz and Laura McIntosh argue in a recent memo that shifting U.S. companies to semi-annual reporting, similar to the EU and UK, could ease regulatory burdens while maintaining transparency and promoting a longer-term focus. And the Conference Board's 2025 survey of over 80% corporate citizenship. Leaders show steady philanthropy budgets, but major shifts in programs. New tax rules limiting deductions, scrutiny of diversity initiatives, and widespread nonprofit funding cuts are reshaping corporate citizenship strategies heading into 2026. Turning to IPO news. Bloomberg reports, September was the busiest month for U.S. IPOs since late 2020. One, led by Klarna and Netskope, in a $7.6 billion surge of listings, newly public. Companies averaged 17% returns, though missteps at StubHub and Gemini remind investors to stay cautious. Reuters notes, Florida-based Neptune Flood is targeting a $2.8 billion valuation in its upcoming NYSE debut. The insurer has grown by offering flood coverage outside the government's program, and early backing from T. Rowe Price and AllianceBernstein signals strong demand. From our desk to yours, I'm sure like most New Yorkers, you have passed by a restaurant 1,000 times and never walked in, because who knows why. Well, that's the case with Italian restaurant Luciola on the Upper West Side. On the outside, it looks sort of like a diner with bright neon letters outside. Nothing against diners, we love diners. And we walked by it without peeking in. Finally, we did, and we were thankful. This trattoria with lineage from Bologna is filled with Italian delights from the Emilia-Romagna region of northern Italy. The region is the breadbasket of Italy, and of course an important region for wines, such as Lambrusco and Sangiovese. Walk in, and you find yourself in a cozy, comfortable, and quite small room. With wine racks everywhere, allegedly more than 1,000 labels. Apparently, the Italians in the New York consulate trek up to the Upper West Side for authentic Bolognese cuisine. Rather than a classic à la carte menu, the idea here is Italian omakase, Japanese for I'll leave it up to you. Which means you pick whether you want 5 courses, 7 courses, or 9 courses and sit back and let dinner unfold before your eyes and taste buds. The ever-changing menu includes handmade pasta, such as tortelloni, tortellini, deconstructed. Lasagna, felicetti, spaghettoni, pinza romana, and of course truffles when in season. We were pleasantly surprised and excited to pass along our experience. Separately, as you think about autumn activities in New York City, here's a pro tip. A great Substack to track all things artsy in NY called Exhibits in New York. In People Moves this week, Clay Magoric and Mike Sicilia have been appointed co-chief executive. Officers of Oracle as Safra Katz transitions to executive chair. T-Mobile is finalizing a leadership transition by naming Srinivasan Gopalan, who was previously the company's COO, as CEO. Molson Coors has named its chief strategy officer, Rahul Goyal, as president and CEO. And Kirkland & Ellis added former Latham & Watkins partner Frank Saviano to run its sports group in New York. And finally, upcoming events to keep on your calendar. October 9th, the 25th anniversary of the John L. Weinberg Center for Corporate Governance at the University of Delaware. October 21st, the 13D Monitor Active Passive Investor Summit in New York. October 28th, Knight Badgett 50th Anniversary Celebration, also in New York. October 28 to 29, Berkeley Fall Forum on Corporate Governance in San Francisco. That wraps it up from the GPP team.